Christian fruit bearing. Now, we thought a lot about works. What's the difference between fruit and works? The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and you know the rest. The works, not stealing, not lying, not killing, giving clothes to the hungry, giving visits to the jailed, giving a cup of cold water, giving a helping hand, all these are works. The Spirit living in us produces a dispositional change. Instead of hating, we love. Instead of being crabbed, we are full of joy. Instead of being a libertine, we are temperate. Instead of being angry and warlike, we're at peace. These are inner, relational, spiritual, psychological, religious attitudes to people, to life, to God, to trials that the Spirit develops within us. And this fruitage of the Spirit produces visible acts. The one who loves is seen helping others. The one who has peace in his heart is a peacemaker in his community, in his family, in his church, in his school, in his place of business. He's a peacemaker because he has peace. He has joy in his heart. He's a joy giver. Those with whom he associates day by day feel better because he is there. And so the fruit of the Spirit produced by the Spirit in the inner man can be shared in all kinds of relationships. Then there are works, the works of faith that work for the betterment of society and for the honor of God. Part number one, all this is possible because Jesus has made us a new creation. All things are passed away. All things have become new. We have put off the old man. We have put on the new man that is renewed in knowledge. The renewing of your mind. The rekindling day by day as the seven-branch candlestick was relighted every day. This new creation is a wonderful thought that the gospel writers present. Paul emphasizes that Jesus held before us, that is prospect for us now. It does not matter what we have been. Let's not spend a moment more than we can repining this. Confess, repent, leave, forget. That's the advice the Scripture gives. Come to Jesus Christ, lay your burdens there, and forget them. Allow His Spirit to engender within you the Christ life. And it will be said of you as it was said of the Virgin. That holy thing that will be born in your body will be called the Son or the Daughter of God. The Spirit is ready to beget in us a new life. Christ is ready to be incarnate in us. That's what He wants to do. That's what He longs to do. That's what the plan of salvation is all about. That's what the new covenant is all about. New. New everything. New thoughts. New motives. New attitudes. New relationships. New purposes, new plans, new hopes, new ways of going about them, new tonal quality in our voice, new look in our face, new way of dressing and doing, new way of eating and drinking, new everything. Old things are passed away, all things are become new. Do you want this? This is what God wants for each one of us, that we shall be a new creation. Part number two. This is the result of faith. Faith is not your own. It's a gift of God. When Nicodemus caught a glimpse of this, he says, this will never be. You can't undo the past. You can't go back in your mother's womb. Jesus says, with man, it's impossible. God, nothing is impossible. That's what the angel Gabriel told the Virgin Mary. It may seem impossible for you to have a child without a husband. But to God, nothing is impossible. And the child that you're going to have is going to be the Son of God. When we accept by faith this possibility, we see the roseate vision of the ideal man in Christ. We read the Word, we meditate upon this ideal, we catch a glimpse of it, and we say, I want to do this. And He will help us. I'm just in process of getting a chapel built for our theological seminary far east. I enjoy work like this. Every square inch of that chapel I have envisaged before it was made. I have talked with the draftsman about every square inch that goes into that building. It's a two-story building. We'll seat 300 people. The shape of every chair, the angle of every part of the wall, the angle of the roof, the coloration of every part of it, the structure of every part of it, I have dreamed and imagined and visualized. But I must confess, when the workmen have made it, it's not quite what I imagined it to be. I've seen a garden wall. I can see in my mind's eye the hewn stone fitting in. But when I look at it, the craftsman has not made the joints quite like I'd like them. He's not arranged them just the way I thought. The picture is not what I want it to be exactly. But in this life, I have to keep my mind's ideal in my mind. Nobody knows it but I. So I leave it. The others see what it is. They don't know what I want it to be. They are satisfied. Every part of my Christian life Jesus has imagined. Do I attain it? Do I fall from the ideals? Is the finished picture of His building, His edifice in my life, anything like the blueprint, or what went before the blueprint, the concept of it in my brain? Am I like it? Is He my architect, my builder, my designer? Am I seeking to allow His plan to come into being? If I submit in faith, He will build. He will do. He is the master craftsman. And the works that I now do will be carrying out His purposes and His plan. Part number three, joy in the Lord. This joy in the Lord has to do with temptations, tests, coming back to the building of the chapel. We've got to use a plumb, a level, a straight edge, a theodolite, a transit. Checks and checks and checks for the plumbing, for the electrical. Everything is checked. As it's checked with the plan, as it's checked with these other instruments of calibration, they are compared with the plan, rejoicing comes about. And when it's all finished and you look at the blueprint and you go through for the last time the final checklist of 395 jobs that have yet got to be finished, and you check them off one at a time, you say the building is finished. We've attained something. Now the builder and maker is God. He checks and checks. He gives a second opportunity, Sometimes a part of a wall must be pulled down. Sometimes some changes have got to be made. But they're made, and slowly the building, fitly framed together, cometh together as a temple of the Lord. So as he checks, and checks off, joy fills our hearts. A test is only a test till we have passed it. I had some excruciating exams before I finished the senior Cambridge. Got my London matriculation. Days of examinations. Terrified till I saw the result 4 months later in a little printed book. And how I rejoiced. I've never worried about the high school final test ever since. Then I had to get my BA. And I had to go through some tests then that were excruciating. But they're passed. I don't worry about them now. I finished them. Then I had to go for my master's. In fact, I went through 3 masters. Took the tests. The tests got easier. Then I took my doctor's degree and had the final test there, after tests. And when you finish the test, let me assure you that you have joy. Brethren, count it all joy when ye are diversely tested. Fall into diverse temptations. Because the trying of your faith only proves it. You build a balcony, you see whether it will bear the weight. You try a piece of wood, try a piece of steel. Is it strong enough? Can it pass the test? When it's passed the test, it's joy. And the tester does not allow any test to come to the material that he thinks the material shouldn't be strong enough to bear. And the same goes for God. The trying of your faith works patience, and patience leads to perfection. So we should rejoice that the Lord, who doesn't waste any of his energies on worthless material, considers us worthwhile enough to test and try, so that when he has essayed the gold and silver, we may have a part in his regalia in the kingdom of glory. Part number 4. Every man who is tempted is drawn away with his own lust. Now the word lust here means that which comes to the surface, epithumia, that which bubbles up. Every one of us has a bubbling up area in which Satan can get a rise on us. And he entices us on that area. You have your set, I have my set of areas at which points Satan can tempt us. Now when we are enticed on the area of bubbling up called lust, we haven't sinned yet. Sin only comes when a conception has taken place. The opportunity is joined to the will. The opportunity is used by the will at the suggestion of the enticing. And then, mentally or physically, sin is brought forth. Mentally, because we are too cowardly to carry it out. Physically, because the opportunity is presented. So not until we have yielded to temptation does it become sin. When we are conscious that Satan is tempting us and flick our minds in joy and trust to Christ with a prayer, Lord help me, and gain the victory, we should rejoice that the Lord has caused us to triumph. Part number 5, the law of Christ, the royal law of Christ. Because it comes from the King of Kings. Because it's a transcript of his character. And fruit bearing, that is the living according to the life. Good deed doing, that is carrying out the works of the law, are motivated by love. Now let's go back to the definition that I have alluded to many times this quarter. God is love. Love is the principle that designs, makes, and maintains ideal relationships. These relationships are defined in law. Law is therefore loving reduced to a code. Law is codified love. It's the codification of the royal character of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I show this as He showed it. God so loved the world. Les so loves his neighbor. And if I love my neighbor as myself, as God loved me, then I will be ready to do good. Because love is making the relationships that do good to everyone, especially those of the household of faith. So I begin by loving my family, my wife, my children, my parents, my brothers and sisters. I love the members of my church, my pastor, my school teacher, those who are devoting themselves to help me. I love those who serve me, those with whom I do business. I am a loving and lovable Christian. Part number 6, Focus of the Week. Christianity consists of being and doing through grace. Being what Christ has set before me through the Word, through His law, through His Son, through His Spirit, through the example of others. The doing carries out through the power of grace all the good that I should do to all the people all the time. And I do this because of the faith Jesus has given to me that enables me to appropriate grace, which is the power that enables. And as we have thought this quarter about themes of faith and salvation, they boil down to this. Look to Jesus, imitate Jesus, allow Jesus to live within, and rejoice in His victory.
This has been another classic sermon from the Archive of American Christian Ministries. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There is no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.